Shalom and welcome to today's installment of With All Your Heart, the Jewish woman's path to experiencing joy and fulfillment in love. This is your host, Hannah Deutsch from Absolutely Feminine, and I'm so happy to have you join me today to learn practical tools for building a relationship full of connection and intimacy. I am thrilled to introduce you to today's expert. Penina Pflug is an EFT couples therapist. Her private practice focuses on couples, family, relationship therapy, and premarital education, as well as training premarital educators. Penina, it is so great to have you on here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about being on this interview.
Amazing.
And having a
Let
conversation
me just add,
with you.
Okay, great. I'm so looking forward to our conversation as well. Did I pronounce your last name correctly? I just realized
yes.
that I did not ask you in advance.
You
okay,
did.
Okay.
You
Always
did.
Want to make sure of that. Okay, good, good. Okay, so Penina, I'm excited to dive into a little bit about what EFT therapy is, how it helps women, but I'd always love to start out by asking how you got into doing what you do and working with couples and women in this way.
Okay, sure. So I guess I was lucky. I always knew I wanted to be a therapist, and I knew pretty early on, maybe even before I started graduate school, that I wanted to be a couples therapist. I just was always interested in couples therapy and marriage. Mm-hmm. So when I started, like when I first started like to work after I got my degree, I had small children, very hectic life. So I, you know, went right into it and I started working and helping, you know, all different types of people in psychotherapy. Then when about 10 years ago, I was fortunate. I was at a point in my life where I could start like choosing which type of couple therapy to practice. And I tried a few different type modalities in couple therapy. And it was really like so mina shamayim that I saw an EFT, emotionally focused couples therapy training in Boca Raton. And I was like, I heard a little bit about it. I didn't know much about it. I tried some other things. I wasn't really finding what I was looking for. So I went to this EFT training. And right away, like, I just felt like I'm home. This is where I'm meant to be. This is going to be what I use to like help people, to help families and couples. And what's special about EFT, it's actually interesting timing for our interview because the mm-hmm. woman who started EFT, Dr. Susan Johnson, just passed away over Pesach. Mm-hmm. And I'm very emotional mm-hmm. about it. And I really like to speak to her. I really like to speak about her when I start working with premarital couples. I like to speak about, I know I'm going a little bit off, but anyway,
okay, so
Dr. Sue Johnson was a woman from, a British psychologist who ended up settling in Ottawa. Anyway, mm-hmm. she decided she wants to find a better way to help couples because many couples were not getting the help that they needed in couples therapy.
Yes.
She started emotionally focused couples therapy. So I always say that when I teach couples, she said, one of her famous quotes is, humans are not meant to be alone. Isolation is for planets. Humans are meant to have connection. And I always say it goes along with what it says in the Torah that a man needs an Azer Kinexo, right? Like, it's exactly like I always teach us to my couples before they get married that it's the science proves what it says in the Torah. Humans are not meant to be alone. We're wired for connection. When we have a secure connection with our spouse, we function better. We are healthier. We're better at our jobs. We're just calmer, happier, higher functioning people when we have a secure connection. So mm-hmm. Sue Johnson figured all this out, and she was very dedicated. Like I always say, she was Lishma in her work. It was about helping people. And actually, I always tell the story about her, and I've been telling it this week since she passed away, that so when 9/11 happened, there was a therapist, George Fowler. He's actually my trainer. He trained me in emotionally focused mm-hmm. couple therapy. So when he was a firefighter for the New York City Fire Department, and he was also a couple therapist. So when 9/11 happened, he was the one that had to help these firefighters with their marriages, these men who were at 9/11 at Ground Zero facing terrible trauma. So he was in New York City, called Sue Johnson in Ottawa. He didn't know him, and he's like, what do I do? Can you help me? And she's like, I'm coming. I'll be there to help you.
Wow.
That was the kind of person she was. So George is one of the few couples therapy trainers that actually trains not on Shabbos to accommodate from therapists. Because when you get into the therapy world, unfortunately,
yes.
a lot of the good trainings
everything's
are on Shabbos.
Yes.
Yes.
All
so
the
he training. Actually,
yes.
he has a partner who's she's another trainer. She's from, so she got him to do this. And they actually went to Israel to train EFT therapists. Like, that's how much they care. So back to my first day in the EFT training, EFT is a humanistic model, non-pathologizing, humanistic. And what's really important is that the couple doesn't feel judged or blamed. They feel like there's a reason they're in this situation. Even if one of them is having problems or they're hurting the other, there's a reason that they got to that place. And it's non-judgmental.
Wow.
And the goal is to help them change their communication in the room so that they can do it at home to change the foundation. And I always tell them, like, I'm not going to solve your financial problem or tell you what to do. I'm going to help you learn to come together so that the problem is yours together, to help you have a secure bond so that you can deal with any situation. So I get to this EFT training, and right away I'm feeling like non-judgmental, accessible. The trainers are so humanistic and amazing. So I found my place, and I started, you know, I started doing my EFT training, and then I got very involved, and I saw right away how effective it was for helping couples and families. So that's how I got into EFT. I saw it right away how great it was, and I just kept going with it. And then it's a lifelong learning model. So, like, I'm not done learning. I'm still going for trainings. I still have a mentor that I speak to, and she helps me be a better therapist. You're not done learning. I'm not the expert. I'm approachable. I'm working with the couple together to help them, to understand them and to help them move forward. So that's how I got into EFT. And then a few years ago, I decided that I wanted to try to prevent some of the problems I was seeing in my office. Because I said some of these problems I was seeing could have been prevented before the marriage with a little education. So I went back, and luckily I found that two EFT trainers had created a psychoeducational course to prepare couples for marriage. So I started teaching couples, and then I got a lot of other therapists involved to learn this model so that more. And I tried to create awareness. I'm still trying in the firm community how important it is to prepare couples for marriage, because I always say, like, marriage is the foundation for your life. It's going to impact your children. So we have to, like, prepare. Like, any job that you would go to, even a trip you go on, we prepare. We look at books and we try to prepare. So marriage is so important. So I'm still really trying to create awareness in the firm community of why it's so important to prepare for marriage.
Wow. Wow.
So that's really so much.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And there's so much that you're saying that I'm really connecting with, because I love this idea. It's something that I'm also so dedicated to, this idea of looking at women, looking at couples, looking at the struggles that they're having, and bringing in that piece of empathy of, okay, even if something here is not working, something is an issue, right? We're not saying there's no issues, but the issues get created because of something that happened, some breakdown, some non-skills we don't have, issues that have happened, and that instead of looking at it in a judgmental way and instead of, you know, giving it labels and, like you said, pathologizing it, right? Like that sorry if I'm butchering that word. But instead looking to see how can we understand what's actually happening, it's so powerful the difference that makes for a couple, rather than, you know, just trying to type it, like just the judgment that can happen otherwise. And it really does create a safety that the couple can then go home and work within. Okay, is that your experience?
Yeah, I see that. I hear from a lot of couples who, let's say, they'll come to me and they've been tried a couples therapy in the past.
Yes.
I think sometimes a breakdown in couples therapy is one person will feel like judged or blamed, and like that the therapist is aligned to one partner rather than, you know, really being careful to hold both people and like be on the same page with both of them.
Yes, Yes, that's so true. I hear so many stories of it, of like, you know, you go in to solve an issue, you go in to solve a problem, and the therapist starts to kind of be on your side even, and you may
right.
feel like, no, but actually I'm here because I want to fix the relationship. I love my husband. I want to deal with this issue. I don't feel like I want to have to defend my husband. I want you to help me understand my husband, understand myself, and then deal with the problem. And it's so powerful to hear that there, you know, that there is this form of therapy that is so dedicated to it. And when you're working with a couple in that way, like, what do you, especially, I love also this idea of education, right? And realizing the awareness of needing to prepare for it, because, you know, we may think that we only, you know, even in couples themselves, a lot of times we see that women struggle to get help. They're scared that it means there's something wrong with them, something wrong with their relationship. And I'm sure you run into that even more when you try to teach people in advance of their marriage, and helping women understand that, helping couples understand the power of learning these things from the beginning. And I would love to hear from you, like, what do you see? I'm sure you, like you said, you probably have whole courses on it or whole things that you teach. What do you specifically see as, like, the top one or two things that can really make a difference for women to know, for couples to know in advance of, like, this is something that can happen and this is something that can be very normal, but it doesn't, but yet with this awareness and this education, it's game-changing for the relationship.
So I want to go back to what you said at the beginning of this part, and then I'll answer your question.
Yeah.
So
yes, sure.
What you said about people being hesitant to get help, that is a huge mm-hmm. problem. So one thing, and talking about what I was saying about the non-pathologizing humanistic approach to EFT, a lot of times when couples come to me, I'll say, of course you got into this problem. Like, of course yeah. this happened. You came in, like, you had all of these things unresolved before the wedding, or you had this major stressor and you didn't have the skills to deal with it, or nobody ever was there for you emotionally. So of course this happened, and we can fix it. There's a lot of hope. So a lot of times I find myself saying, yeah, this happened, but it happens to a lot of people. We can, you know, I try to give them hope
yeah.
and normalize that. A lot of people don't have that self-awareness before they get married. You know what, like, these are my triggers, this is what I went through,
mm-hmm.
you know, and knowing how to deal with that. So a lot of times I'll be like, yeah, of course this happened.
Yeah.
So I normalize that. But a big issue, like you alluded to, is that couples don't get help. So
yeah.
sometimes I'll have people come to me 5-6 years in of suffering, mm-hmm. but they were embarrassed to get help, or they were afraid, and then it got so much worse. So one of the things I teach my couples in premarital education is, everyone needs help at some point in their life. I mean, most families who are self-aware will have one person at least go to therapy at some point in their life, because life is hard and there's different struggles, and you're much better off if you have help and you have an unbiased person to talk to. So
yeah.
a lot of things, part of what I think is so important about the premarital therapy relationship with a therapist or premarital educator is to normalize, you know, now I have this person who's really easy to talk to. If something comes up, I can call that person. So that's mm-hmm. something that I really try to impart to the couples. Now, an issue I have is getting that message across to the from community that everybody
yeah.
should come for this, and that it's normal and it's helpful and healthy. So that's a struggle that I'm having. So some people are
mm-hmm.
on board, but a lot of work that has to be done in terms of educating our community that, just like you prepare for anything else in life, marriage is something
yeah.
we need to be prepared for. A lot of people have reasons why it's hard, you know, based on their upbringing, and we need help. And, you know, so that's an issue. And then your question was, I think, what would help people prepare? Like, what are some skills that I teach to help
mm-hmm.
people prepare? Is that the question?
Yeah, well, I'm so with you on this normalization, like knowing that it's
yeah.
normal to have issues, and that's one
yeah.
of my, you know, one of the lines that I share I think it was in my like introduction video, like to last year's With All Your Heart, was like having skills, having issues, it doesn't make you helpless. It doesn't make you hopeless. It makes you normal. And normal doesn't mean that now there's no, okay, it's normal, just live with it. Normal means, okay, now we can deal with it. There are skills to help you with it. Like, and that normalization, because we walk around thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he does that. I can't believe I feel this way. It must be there's something wrong with me. It must be there's something wrong with him. It must be our marriage is doomed. It must be I made a mistake. And that the power of knowing, like, a lot of these things are very normal. And even the things that we could say, okay, they're issues, it's still normal to have issues. It's normal to have struggles. And it doesn't mean it's hopeless. It means that that's where we get to learn and grow and figure out how to deal with the issues.
Right. And you come out stronger. Like most people, if they come to therapy because there's a problem, they have a much stronger, healthier relationship when they finish therapy. Like if they're better than they were before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true, right? And like it sounds like exactly because of the way that you're doing this therapy to give them that normalization and to give them the skills to be able to communicate with that safety. Like that's such a big, it's so important. Like so often people think like a good marriage means we never fight or a good marriage means we never have issues. We're exactly the same. And when we realize like, well, all marriages have issues, all marriages have struggles. You're going to have issues that come up. You're going to live in difficult times. You know, we are living in difficult times. You're going to have struggles with kids that are going to come up and you're going to have differences of opinion. And the power, a good relationship is being able to deal with those issues and come out of it stronger on the other side.
Yeah, it's right? So true. That's one of the skills I teach my couples before the wedding, and a lot of times, unfortunately, I can't teach it till after because they don't come until after, but it's repairing for connection. Because like you said, all couples are going to argue, but it's can you repair, can you exit the fight? And one of the main things I see in my office is couples coming and saying, we had a fight, and then we didn't talk for a few days. And that's a very painful place to be. And usually when that happens, both people are not very good at apologizing, or, you know, both of them are, like, withdrawers, or one, you know, one is shut down, and the other one is very anxious because the other one is shut down. So that's a big thing that people have to learn. And one of the things I find myself saying all the time now is that the problems are the words that we don't say, right? So I'll give you an example, like, which I see almost every day in my practice. like, let's say I just saw this today. So one person in the couple was ready to get engaged. The other one was not ready, you know, and then the one who wasn't ready was ready, and then the first one wasn't ready. And they had a conversation, and let's say when the first one was ready, let's say the woman was ready first before the man. And a lot of times one person's ready to commit first. And then they had a conversation about it. And he was being very logical. And he was missing that she needed him to be emotional. And then he basically wasn't ready. But the problem was that he didn't explain why. He didn't say, you know what, I know I want to be with you, but listen, I have these financial things I have to work out, or have some issues with my parents I have to work out. He just basically said, like, I'm not there yet. So, of course, she was hurting terribly.
Yeah.
Right? But he did want to get there, but he was missing the emotional part. And then when it came up after, he said, I'm sorry that happened, that fight happened. So, anyway, they had this fight, right, because she was ready to commit and set a time frame. He wasn't. But he didn't make her feel good about it at all in the conversation. So she was very disappointed. And then this is still going on. It's still hurting her. And he keeps saying, but listen, I did all of this and I did all of that. You know, so he's missing that she just needs the validation of, that must have been really hard for you. You were ready and I wasn't. And it didn't explain my feelings. It was very, like, cerebral and logical, and it wasn't emotional. And right away, I saw this within 5 minutes of meeting this couple, that this was the problem. And that what happened was that in all of his responses, he was invalidating. He would validate her and then say, but.
Right.
So all the validation went away, and all of her feelings were minimized. because he was saying, I hear you, but I'm sorry you feel that way, right? So what I see this every day is all the things that are not said that cause the problems. Like another example I find, I'll tell my couples, like one person will want a nice gift and she'll tell her husband and her husband will say no. He won't say, I wish I could, but I can't afford that. I love you. Is there something else? Maybe I'll be able to afford that. He'll just get overwhelmed by her ask and say no. And then she's like, whoa. So there's so many things that we leave unsaid that create so much damage and hurt. And some people, I mean, how do we learn these? We learn these skills from our parents, but many of us don't, right? So we have to learn them somewhere. So my goal is that people don't wait till there's a problem. They learn some of this before the wedding. A little bit of prevention can really go a long way.
It's so great that you're sharing this and teaching it. The line I always say is most of our issues are not miscommunications, they're non-communications, right? Like there's so much that we're not saying. And, you know, a woman will share something with me, like my husband, like using the example you gave even, you know, my husband said, no, I can't get it. And she's making, you know, but I'm so upset because I really wanted her because, you know, it's so important to me. And then I'm like, and did you share that with him? Did you tell him why this is important to you? Were you vulnerable with him? Did you tell him that like your shaykh is falling apart and you're embarrassed to go out in it and you need it? You have this big wedding coming. Like, did you share that with him? No, I didn't want to upset him. Right. I didn't want him to like, and there's such a fear of upsetting or not knowing how to be vulnerable, not knowing how to share it that we just don't communicate or we expect them to read our mind or we expect that we think that we can read their mind or whatever else, wherever it's coming from. There's so much that's not said, and then that creates so much pain and frustration. And then we're like,
mind reading?
Yes.
That's one of the things I tell my couples. I tell all my engaged couples and my therapy couples, don't expect your spouse to read your mind. You have to say exactly what you need.
And it's amazing how good we think we are at mind reading. And I always, you know what, I always give like examples of women who are like married. I know my husband. I know him so well. I've been married for 2 years. Listen, I'm sure you know your husband very well, but like in 2 years, you cannot mind read, right? And just recently, I heard this great story from Dr. David Burns. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he was sharing how. So he has this whole thing where he gets clients to rate how empathetic and how good their therapists were. And he said that, and this was such, it was about mind reading because he also talks a lot about mind reading. And he said, you would think that the best mind readers are therapists, right? Like therapists and coaches, like we're trained to like read people, right? And then he said that when they started testing, like how a client feels at the end of the session, about whether or not the therapist was a good therapist, the rating of the clients and the rating of the therapist as to how well the session went weren't matching. That even therapists were struggling to be able to read their clients' minds and know like how they were feeling about the session. And so if they're struggling, then like we're all struggling. Like, and we think we know, and that's where you get confirmation bias and all of that because you think you know what your husband, that every time your husband does that, he's mad at you, but really you just always assume that that's what he means. I know we're going off on a whole other tangent, but
I always tell my couple, tell me if I say something that bothers you. Transparency is a very big part of my therapy. Like if a client looks uncomfortable with something I said, I'll say, are you okay? If that lands on you wrong. Like I always say, tell me if you're upset. I don't want you walking out of the session and then coming back next week and saying, I was really upset when I left the session. Tell me in the session.
Yes.
We need to work together. Like we're all human and imperfect, you know?
So. Yes. And that's teaching them how to do that in their marriage also.
Right.
Right. Like,
right.
So that's part, like, because we think we know when our husbands are upset or we think our husbands know when we're upset. And we're not communicating those feelings and we're not asking them if what's bothering them and we're not telling them what's bothering us. We're not communicating.
100%.
We're not saying. And then so much is happening in that space that's creating more of the issue than if we would talk about it. And that's what we, I guess we go back to the communication, knowing how to communicate, knowing how to have that safety, how to deal with the issues that are actually happening. And I love how you said that when you have those skills, then when you go home and you're dealing with your real life situations, if you know how to do it in the office, you know how to do it at home and deal with real life as it's coming up.
Right. So a couple of things I want to say that address what you said. What you said about the mind reading, that is, I always say that's like my number one piece of marriage advice. Don't expect your partner to read your mind. If you ask and they say yes, that's good enough. So a lot of times you hear a woman, you probably hear this all the time, he should know what I want. She should know.
Yeah.
So I always say, I practice what I preach. I've been married for 25 years, Baruch Hashem, and I always tell my husband, like a few weeks ago, we married off our first child, and Pesach was coming. So I went to the store, and I picked out a present, and I said, I picked out a present for myself for making a wedding and making Pesach, and you can pick it up if you want. Like I there's a few choices, you know, you pick up, you know, and he said back to me, you deserve it. And I was like, that's all I need. He doesn't need to know that I need a present. He's not perfect. He doesn't care about presents.
That's
so
right.
He doesn't know that I need a present. As long as he says yes, that's good enough. So I practice what I preach. You have to say what you need. You have to say, listen, I need help with the dishes. I need help with the kids.
Yeah.
This is another thing that comes up all the time. Like I always say, like, let's say a husband has to go to work and he leaves the woman crazy, holding three kids, cooking, and he just leaves. He could say, I wish I could be home. I wish I could help you. I'm sorry I have to leave. It doesn't just have to be, well, I have to leave and that's it. Sorry I have to leave.
Yes.
Sorry I wasn't there when you needed me. You know, even if you couldn't be there, you still say you're sorry. And then what you said before about letting someone know you're upset. So this is a big thing that I deal with a lot, right? So a lot of times a woman will be upset at the end of a fight, or it's not always the woman, sometimes it's the man, but often the woman's still upset, and they're just at an impasse. So the man will just say, okay, we're done, right? And not look at his wife's face and see she's still upset, it's not resolved, she still needs to talk about it. Now, a big reason men do this is because they think, well, I can't fix it, so there's nothing to say.
Right.
It's over. I can't fix it. I can't. But they don't realize you could just say, I'm sorry you're suffering. I'm sorry I can't fix this.
Yeah.
Right? So
yes.
I have this cartoon that I show my couples in premarital education I love, that you see a woman with a mad face saying, maybe if I don't talk to him, he'll know I'm upset. And then you see him walking around, shooting the breeze, smiling, having a dandy day, and he has no idea she's upset.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So it's very relatable.
Exactly.
Very relatable.
Yes. Yes. And we can be so sure that the other person is upset when they're not, and so sure that they're totally fine when they're not. Like, there's no way to know and to communicate. Like, unless you communicate, there's no way to know, like, what's going on inside the other person. Like, the mind reading and the expectation of mind reading and the expectation of, you know, I said one thing, but you should have known that I meant something else, or you should know I'm upset, or I know he's mad at me when it may be that he is stressed, but he's stressed about something else. He's stressed about work. He's stressed about the kids. He's stressed about who knows what. Or maybe he is upset, but he's working it through and he knows it's his own issues. Like, we end up putting our own... So much ends up going on in that space that doesn't need to, because we're not communicating and we're not being real about our feelings. And it's so powerful to teach that, and for, you know, like, to get rid of that romanticized concept of, like, oh, everyone should just know what they're feeling and say the right thing and do the right thing.
Right.
And I love what you shared also about what to do at the end of a fight when it may not be resolved. Right? Like, there are issues that don't get resolved. There are issues that aren't going to feel good. There are struggles that are not going to be solved in a day. I often tell my clients, like, don't expect big issues to be solved in one conversation. It's probably going to take time. And that doesn't mean that when the conversation's over, you're now have to not talk to each other until it's resolved. Like, you have that issue, you're dealing with that issue, and you can still have a relationship besides for the fact that you're trying to deal with a specific issue. Is that something that you find come up
and
also?
For sure. Yeah. Also, often one person will need a break like they'll get overwhelmed and they'll need a few minutes. And the other person, and so they'll shut the other one out, and the other one gets, that makes the other one become extremely anxious. Are we okay? Do you still love me? Are we good? And the other one doesn't realize that by shutting the door, we call it that person the withdrawer, that the pursuer is getting very anxious, you know, and sometimes that can look like anger, but it's really anxiety. So what I always say is, if you need a break, just let your partner know. Like, I'll have people tell me all the time, and I think this is like more, I don't know if this is more the younger generation, but they'll be like, okay, yeah, I just went out, I'm mad, I'm not going to answer the phone. Like, no, you're married. You have to tell your spouse, I need time. You can't just disappear and ignore their messages. I need a few minutes. You know, like, let's pick this up in an hour. But you can't just, like, ignore your spouse, you know, and just not say where you are. Or that's not okay when you're married to someone. So, but that is very common, that one person will need the time before they can talk about it. And that's okay, but it can't be for days. You know, it has to be, it has to be communicated before. You know, like, this is, that person has to understand that about themselves, or they can't share with their partner. What you were saying before about asking for help, I really encourage my couples to talk every day. Just talk, check in. How are you feeling? What's going on? And I always say, if you don't check in every day, and then on Thursday night you start screaming at him because you're making Shabbos, you have a big work deadline, the kids are, but you didn't tell him all week, listen, I'm having a hard time, and all of a sudden you're so mad, and he has no idea that you needed help because you didn't say it. You didn't. So I really try to encourage couples to talk every day. To make time alone. And that we always say, like,
I would say that's so important, that just for the reason of, like, he doesn't know what's going on in your world. You won't know what's going on in each other's world if you're not sharing it with each other. And then everything just piles up and creates resentment and, and till you explode, like you said. It's so important.
Yeah, it's very important. And, it's very important to check in and make time. And some people just really don't know that. Well, listen, like, marriage is important. Like, it has to be intentional. Like, we have to prioritize the marriage. And that's actually something that I actually speak a lot about, is that, like, there's so much pressure to be, like, a super parent that I think a lot of times we don't realize being a super spouse is as important. And, like, you can't just ignore your spouse because your kids need you. People will do that for years.
Yes.
God willing, the kids are all going to be out of the house and it's going to be just the two of you. But also, you have to nurture that relationship for your kids to feel secure. You have to be a team. Right. So it's just as important to make time to be, like, a super spouse. Like people will feel guilty, like, you know, going on a date with their spouse. But that's just as important. Yeah. And it's good for the kids to see, like, this is important. Yeah. You know, mommy and daddy love each other. You know, mommy and daddy want to be alone also, want time alone. Of course, there has to be a limit. You know, it has to be healthy boundaries and healthy balance. But a lot of people will ignore their marriage because, well, I'm being a good parent.
Oh my gosh, Penina, there is so much here. I feel like I could talk to you for hours more. And I'm just going to segue just a little bit with what you said there, that importance of creating a feeling of safety in your home. Is there anything specific that you can share about the importance of creating safety in our home with our, as a couple, for our children, with everything that's going on in the world? Is there anything that you would share as especially important and powerful in being able to create that safety with everything that is around us right now?
I think it's just important that there just be a lot of conversations about how everyone's doing, right? Like, I once heard this quote that was so poignant. If my kid gets in trouble, you don't want your kid to say, oh, mommy's going to kill me. You want your kid to say, I better tell mommy. Like, so you just want to really just, and it is very challenging on our time. Like, you know, it's challenging in our times, but it's just so important. And this is how kids learn. Like, you have to start from when they're young. Oh, you're teaching them by you listening, by you validating, by us turning off our phones and showing our kids they're important, you know, and showing, you know, that's how kids learn, you know, by example and by experiencing from their parents, empathy, validation, good listening skills. So that's how they learn to be a good person, healthy person. But that's how you create emotional safety in the home, that, you know, that everybody feels like, even if they mess up, they're not being judged, they're being loved, they're being understood. They have to feel comfortable sharing. And again, like, that's also why sometimes people do lie, let's say, or withhold things from their spouse. Like I always say, like, if your spouse thinks, if you tell your spouse that you got a parking ticket or you got in a car accident, if they think you're going to be mad at them, they don't want to tell you. So they need to feel if I tell my spouse I have got a parking ticket or a car accident, the first thing they're going to say is, are you okay?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
And it's so, it just goes right back to what you said right from the beginning, right? That the power of a healthy relationship and of a healthy therapy is in that safety to talk about things, in that looking at people with empathy rather than judgment. It creates safety in your office. It creates safety in the marriage. It creates safety in the home. And it's a really powerful message. And I thank you for sharing with us about Dr. Sue Johnson and about everything that you've shared. It's really so powerful. It sounds like you do such important work. If anyone who's listening, I don't know if there's anything you want to say on that, you're welcome to. And then if anyone who wants to connect with you, if you want to share how women can connect, ask you any questions, I'd love for you to share that with everyone.
Yeah, if anyone has any questions, like about where to find the right help, I'd love to be a resource to connect people with the right type of help. If anyone has any questions about, marriage or relationships, you can email me at Penina, at PeninaFlugLCSW.com.
Beautiful. That's the best way
to reach me.
Amazing.
Yeah, and you can reference this class and like in the, so I make sure to read it, like that it's a question based on this talk that we had.
Amazing. Wow, Penina, thank you so much for your time and expertise that you have shared. It's really been such a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, it's been really great talking with you, and hopefully maybe we can bring more awareness and help more Jewish women, because it is really, we all have to support each other, and I think that is really important for us all to support each other. I've had women say to me, I've had a couple of people say to me, I'm sure you never yell at your kids, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm also human. Like, and I remember one time I have a friend who was like an excellent mother, and I remember one time seeing her kids fighting, and I felt so good that her kids were fighting also. I was a much younger mother. It's funny, because one thing I actually want to say, I always tell my clients, if I could say something to my younger self, would be, don't rush so much. Like, I feel like when I was a younger mother, I was like more rushed. Okay, the kids have to be in school on time and like rushing. And if I could say something to that mother, it would be like, okay, it's okay if people, like now I'll tell my client mothers who are struggling, just wake up a little earlier, like have a little extra coffee, but like everything will just go so much smoother. You want to send the kids out calm and happy. You want to be off the phone, ready for the kids when they get home. Like I always try to not be working when my kids get home, even if I have to go back to work. And that's also actually something that I really am passionate about, that if Jewish mothers need to work, it's so important to do something you love and to find a job that is flexible with families, right? Like that really you can still be there for your children. So that's something that I tell young people in college, like even if you have to work harder now, it'll be worth it. But find a career that if you need to work and you want to work and or need to work, find something that you like, because, and that you can really be there for your kids. And it can be, you can make a schedule where you can be there for your kids, and you're not like a schmata that you're, you have to set yourself. We have to all set ourselves up for success, right? Like,
yes, I love that.
Get the right help that we need, and in every area, lean on each other. Like I have a cute thing. I'll end with this. I have a little thing on my slideshow that I show the couples, and it has like a cell phone battery, and it says by yellow, get help here. Like, don't wait till you're in the red to get help. And it's a strength to ask for help. It's a strength. Yes. It's not a weakness. It's a strength to ask for help.
That is so true. It's so true. And like you said, it's so amazing to get that awareness out. And I thank you for all the work that you're doing. And I'm so happy for us to, work together to bring this out. And yes, it's really been such a pleasure. And And because the more we can help women understand the power, I know for myself, my life was changed when I got help, and that's why I'm so passionate in giving that help and providing help mm-hmm. and being there and allowing women to know that there's nothing wrong in needing help. And like you said, that we're so much more, we're stronger when we have help, when we have support,
yeah.
when we have, especially because so much of our, like you said in the beginning, we're so much more secure when we have a happy marriage, and we often need help with that. And there's
yeah.
nothing wrong with that, right? That idea of we should just yeah. be thrown into a house together because we love each other. We barely know each other, but you're supposed to just love each other
right.
so much that you can build this. You don't need any help and everything should work out. And knowing that it's okay to need help. It's healthy to need help. We all need help. And let's get that help that we need so that we don't have to, you know, we don't have to flounder. We don't have to feel stuck. We don't have to feel hopeless. And it's so important for women to feel good knowing that they can have help and to find the right help. Thank you.
Yeah, 100%.
Being here. Amazing.
Okay,
amazing.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And you're welcome. And to all of our listeners, I want to thank you for joining us. Kol HaKavod for taking the time for yourself and your relationship to listen today. And until tomorrow, may we all be blessed to live, love, and be loved with all our hearts. Shalom.